In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We find ourselves on this Sunday in the midst of two feasts. The Feast of the Transfiguration, which we celebrated earlier in the week, and as we head toward the Dormition of the Mother of God. And the reading today that we have heard is of Peter walking on the water toward our Lord. What I want to bring out is a connection of the meaning of the Feast of the Transfiguration in connection with what Peter does. What Peter does when he walks on the water and how he is able to walk on the water. When Jesus Christ was transfigured on Mount Tabor, the first thing that we need to understand is that this is not a change within him, but rather it's an unveiling of the divinity that is veiled in his humanity. The glory of God that shines forth as light, as uncreated light that the disciples witness, is the glory of that divinity that is within the incarnation. The miracle of Peter walking on water to Jesus shows us by grace what human beings can do and become when they follow Christ in faith as that one who is glorified on Mount Tabor in his humanity. The disciples, when they participated in the miracle of the loaves, which this takes place just after, still don't really understand who Jesus is. Christ sends them into the sea to cross to Gennesaret without him, while he prays alone. He knows the trouble that they are about to experience and that they are experiencing. In fact, even in this account in the gospel, we see that Jesus looks out and sees them in trouble. He knows that they are going through this through the whole night. It's the fourth watch of the night. In other words, it's that darkest part of the night before the dawn. And so he begins to walk on water toward and near them. The disciples' experience is one of fright. They're frightened, and they've been frightened all night. Frightened by the waves of the sea, frightened by the storm. You could say that they feel like they're in a disaster movie. But then, in their fright, it turns into almost a horror show. They think they see a ghost that's come not just or they have to deal with the waves, but now they have to deal with the undead. Now their thoughts are consumed with death. Their hope begins to weaken. But then there's a moment of recognition. Hope begins to spring up in them because in this one who is walking on the water, they begin to ask themselves, is this our master? Is this Jesus Christ? When Jesus walks on the water, he does so because he is God. He has complete command over nature. Christ speaks to them when he comforts them, and he says this, "Take heart, it is I, be not afraid." This is an echo of the words that are contained in the Old Testament at the burning bush. He says, ego eimi, I am, I exist. The echo is that of the first two words of the voice of God in the burning bush when he comforts Moses and he tells them, tell that I am the I am. Ego eimi o on. We hear the same words again from Christ in comfort to his disciples. He is telling them, I am God. Not only do we have this echo of our Creator and God, Jesus Christ, in the language that he speaks, but even in the very fact that he is walking on water, we have an echo of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament in the book of Job. In the book of Job, At Job's most despairing moments, his friends have rallied around him, not really to comfort him in his trial and his great loss, but they gather around him and encourage him to question God. They are ones that are rather have gathered around tempting them, stoking more his fear of death, his fear of loss, and tell him to end his suffering, to curse God and die, is what one of them says. But Job offers a response that is very interesting. He says that he has his faith in God. And one of the things that he lists on who this God is that his God is the one who walks on the waves of the sea. Job 9:8. So what we have here is a fulfillment in the flesh of Christ and in his word that this is God who is among them. It's a fulfillment of the prophecy of God come to save his people. What's curious about this account is that we have it in two other spots, in the Gospel according to John and in Mark, but only in Matthew do we have the account of Peter walking on the water. The other two Gospels, they simply say that Jesus came to them on the storm, they see him walking on the sea, they're afraid, and he gets into the boat. Nothing about Peter walking on the water. But Peter walking on the water is for us a sign of the fulfillment of our human nature, our very humanness in each person. What the God-man Jesus Christ desires for us. His walking on the water is a sign of that. Matthew, his gospel, is considered the gospel that focuses on the kingship of Jesus, the one who has all the authority, in other words. It has also the events that point to Christ sharing this with his disciples and apostles. So emphasizes this that the very last verses of the gospel according to Matthew are the Great Commission, which we all are familiar with. And it begins with this word, or these words: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. This is the command. The authority that Jesus has as God who became man in the flesh, imbued humanity with all that he is, and shone in glory on Mount Tabor, this authority he's giving to them. And having given that command, he tells them, make disciples. Go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then this, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. We have what God has bestowed, all authority, the command to make disciples and to baptize them, and also teach them so that they can grow in what I am giving to you. This is what's open to us, brothers and sisters. It's the key to understanding the unique event of Peter walking on the water. Peter walks on the water as a foretaste of the fullness of what humanity participating with God in faith can become. It's not just apostolic authority as an institution, but what we are able to become when we participate with God. So Peter, by that kind of faith, by following the command of Christ, making his request, if it is you, command me to come. And so Christ does. And Peter walks on the water for a time. He's observing the commandment of Christ and stepping out in faith. But why does Peter sink in the water? Because of his own fear of the waves, fear of them overtaking him while he's even following God's command. His faith is weakened by his loss of keeping his focus on Christ. And so amidst the waves, he begins to sink. But here again, we have another lesson. He doesn't just sink and drown. He calls out to the Lord while his faith and his doubt might be taking over him. And he says, "Lord, save me." And there is Christ's hand pulling him up out of the water. For a time, while he participated with God in the fullness of faith, the natural laws are suspended just like they were for the Creator, because he's participating with Christ. So Peter is an example for us on how we too can follow God in faith and trust in his providence, trust in his mercy, trust that we too, in our own way, can walk on water in faith. But Peter's also an example that we might fall, we might falter, and that's not the end. We too can be like Peter and say, "Lord, save me," and there is Christ's hand, pulling him up and onto the boat, onto the ark of salvation, to learn more from him, to have another opportunity to continue to walk with him. We need to be reminded of this, that through Christ's promises to the apostles and what he bestowed on the church, and then to us, to all Christians, that all authority in heaven and earth is what he desires to bestow and for us to live out. By that promise and by the incarnation of God and his shining forth in glory to us, what is imparted to us is the very energy of God, his authority, the authority of Jesus Christ, the God-man. What he is by nature, we become by grace and faith. Our humanness is capable of participating with God. This is what he made us to be. We are being filled with what God is. Not on our own power, but by trust and love. When we live and move within this place, from this point of reference, we too can walk on the water amidst the storm and walk toward Christ. We become what God made us to be in him, what he is and what he does. We become participants in grace. Our nature is dynamic, but complete. It moves evermore into that ultimate and infinite source that is God. This is what Peter did when he walked on the water. And this is what Christ showed in glory on Mount Tabor. This is what humanity can participate in. The light of God, the miracle, and the fullness of what he created us to be. We get an inkling of that in this miracle accounted by the gospel according to St. Matthew. And so let us trust and love and follow the command of God, even requesting, "What do you command, God?" And when we hear that word, we follow. Peter walked on water and did many other things throughout his apostolic ministry in trust of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he always, in his faltering, said, "Lord, save me." And there was the hand of Christ bringing him back to him in faith and in love, in response to Peter's faith and love. Amen.